Let us bow our heads in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for each one that has come. I pray, O God, that our hearts and our minds will be open and receptive to your holy word. Help us as we look at it, that we see what you have to say to us. And we pray, O God, that you will move a mighty way amongst each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at the Old Testament lesson that we read in Deuteronomy, we find that there Moses was coming to the end of his life, and he wanted to know what was going to happen to the chosen people of Israel. Remember, once God had told Moses, he says, you will not enter the promised land. And the reason for that is because you disobeyed me. When I told you to speak to the rock, you in your anger to the people struck the rock, and therefore I will not let you enter the chosen land of Israel. You will die in this part of the country, and you will be buried in Nebo. Nebo is today in Jordan. It's on the east side of the Jordan River, and it's off from Jericho. You can see the mountain of Nebo from Jericho, and so it was not far. God did show Moses the promised land in from the top of the mountain before he died, and so he's seen it. And so we see that because of sin and because of disobedience, he did not let Moses in. And he promised Moses, he says, I will arise, raise up a prophet like you. Now, if you look in the dictionary, the word prophet means someone who foretells the future or someone who explains the present and foretells something that has been read and explained. So a prophet is not considered maybe only a prophet, but also a teacher, a minister, or as Scripture says, a priest. We find that the priests of that day, when Jesus was born, had added several laws to their Torah, several laws in which they could not attain but had to strive for, to think that they were going to make it better and work their way into heaven. We find and we know that this is not true. We know it is by faith are we saved through grace. It is by faith that we have the trust that God will save us, that the Lord will enter us, because he has said, if you accept Jesus and the work of the cross, I will enter you with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, me and my Father will abide in you, and we will teach you all things. That we don't have to be taught, but that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God will teach us each one as we study the Scripture and search them, because they tell of Christ and his marvelous work, his glorious work, and the work which is to come. He came once in love. He's coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we see that when God told Moses, I will raise up a prophet like yourself unto my people. And he says, I will raise him up and he will be able to teach the people. Those who make false prophets or false claims of Christ will be punished. And we see that even today, that there are many false witnesses in the world. And in those false witnesses, we find that God will reserve punishment for them. It is told us in Peter that God knows how to take care of the righteous, and he knows how to take care of those that have rejected him and keep them unto the day in which they will be punished. You see, we are told that if we draw near to God, he draws near to us. And as we draw near to God, it tells us that the devil will flee from us as we search the Scripture and have Christ in our heart and in our life. We can go into the epistle lesson that we read in Corinthians, and it tells us there that all glory goes to God. All glory belongs to God, and there is no one else to get that glory. This is why we find we cannot be saved by keeping the law. The law of the Ten Commandments, we may say, I have kept them as that man did to Jesus. He says, I've kept them from my youth. What more must I do to be saved? And Jesus tells him, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. It says he went away very distraught and sorrowful because he had many riches, and he had many riches in which he did not want to part. We find that, number one, we must give our all to Christ. We find that in our all giving to Christ, he is number one in our lives and in all that we own here on earth. That it is Jesus and Jesus alone that gave his all for us. And in giving of that all, he came from his glory in heaven and he came here to earth. We find in the epistle lesson, you know, Paul put it so very plainly. He says, you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And we find that even when Jesus was born, he was born in a barn or in a stable. His manger, a manger was his bed. And we find this is about as low as the life could come. We find also in our gospel text, which we'll read in just a few minutes, that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And as a tax collector, he was a sinner of sinners and the lowest scum of the people in Israel, because he was collecting money for the Roman government. And he was working for the Roman government, even though he was a Jew, and he was then despised. And we find that Jesus says, you know, if you have me, you can know you'll probably have many trials in your life. And in those trials, one of them might be persecution. One of them might be where people will disown you and not want to do any talk to you or have anything to do with you because you have Christ first in your life. And we must have Christ first in order to know that he is our Lord and our Savior. So as we do this, as we look at Zacchaeus today, we will find that Zacchaeus himself was wondering what all was going on. I'm sure he had heard about Christ, and he wanted to see who this man was, what made him so important. Yet we see, even on the Sermon on the Mount, where it says Jesus spoke and the people followed him and flocked to him because he spoke with authority and with knowledge. He was sent by God. He didn't come on his own. He did not proclaim to be anything except what God the Father had told him to proclaim and to speak, and that he was the Son of God, speaking only what the Father had told him to speak and doing only what the Father had told him to do. He loosed the people in prison. In the prison, we're talking about those that are lame and sick, those that were under the torment of sin. He cast out demons while he was here on earth, and he did many wonderful works, and we read about those. And we know then the life of Christ. So do we then know Christ himself, or only do we know what he did? So let us look at Luke chapter 19, and as we read this portion on Zacchaeus, verses 1 through 10. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be with a guest, with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. These were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We see Zacchaeus had known about Christ, and we see that Zacchaeus had heard much about the Lord, and so he wanted to see him. When we were in Israel, we were in Jericho, and as we walked through that part of town, we found that it was at this tree he climbed up in. They have a fence around it so people don't carve it up, and they claim it's about 3,000 years old. That tree is not only fenced in, but it's right where two roads meet, and Jesus was coming that way. So he had climbed up because Zacchaeus was short in stature. He was not a tall person. Maybe he was 4 feet tall, or he could have even been shorter, who knows. But he was a chief tax collector, therefore he had people under him collecting taxes. And he was one that wanted to know what was going on in the community and in the world. He wanted to know because he was working for the Roman government. He also wanted to know for his own curiosity, probably, and he wanted to see this man that he had heard so much about. So he climbed up that tree. And he had to be a pretty good climber to climb up because the branches aren't what you would call real close together. And he climbed up there and he sat up. I can see him sitting up about maybe two or three branches up. And Jesus come walking by, and Jesus looks and sees him and says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to go over to your place today, and I'm going to visit with you and stay with you. And Zacchaeus, knowing that the people who had rejected him and the people who were against him because he was working for the Roman government, and the Jews didn't like the Romans, but they wanted to keep peace so that they could do their own thing. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had been following Jesus all along. And every time something happened, they would try and find fault with Jesus. They would never accept what he came for. They would never accept that God had sent him into the world to die for our sin. They had never accepted the fact that God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus into the world. And Jesus spoke only what God told him to speak and to do the will of the Father himself. So we see Zacchaeus joyfully accepting Christ. And he brings him into his house. And I can imagine he did all of the ceremonial washings of the feet that he did at that they did at that time, because they walked on a dusty road. They would wash the dirt off their feet before they sat down and had something to eat. Now Zacchaeus stands before the Lord, and in his joy, he realizes this is the Son of God. He accepts Christ as the Son of God, and he tells Jesus, he says, "Lord, I'm going to give half of my everything I have to the poor." You know, if Jesus came to your house today, would you stand and tell him, "I'm going to give half of everything I got to the poor"? Probably not. Would you tell him, "Half of everything I got is going to be moved out and given to somebody else"? And then, if I have wronged anybody, I'm going to go and make it right by giving them fourfold of what it might have cost them because I wronged them. And I think most of us would have to say we fail that test too. Do we then fail the test that Jesus is first in our life? Do we fail the test that, number one, we want to please Christ and not ourselves? We want to please Christ not only in the spiritual realm, but also in the physical realm, because he is the one that gives us our health. He's the one that gives us our home. He's the one that gives us our job. He's the one that gives us life and gives it to us abundantly, that we can call upon him and he will take care of us. Yes, we are told that if we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, Satan will do everything he can to discourage us. He'll do everything he can to turn us away from God and to go the ways of the world. And as we find that those who are not being saved, salvation is foolishness to them. But those who are being saved, it is the power of God in our lives. And in that power, we see Christ working in us and through us, reaching out to those round about us. Or do we take and say, like the rich young ruler that had many goods, and I just can't give up these things in my physical life because they are so important to me. We find that Christ is willing to live for us, and he was willing to come to earth. He died on the cross for us. It draws us to the cross. The cross was a shameful death, and yet it becomes a glorious thing to us because Christ not only died there, he was put in the grave, and 3 days later he rose from the dead, showing us that he had victory over the devil and over Satan, and that he is the Son of the living God. He told us before he ever died, he says, "God has given me all power. I can lay down my life and I will raise it up." And he says, "And in doing this, I will prove to you that I have power over devil and over Satan." Yes, when the Holy Spirit is drawn out of this world, we will find that disaster upon disaster will come. And we find that God has said, "I will send you signs before I return." And in those signs are many times, and he tells us, "Look up, your redemption draws near." Jesus says, "I have come to seek and to save those that are lost." He told the Pharisees, he says, "You know, you have those that are well have no need of a physician. Those that are righteous, that have Christ, they have no need of a physician because they're already walking with the Lord and they're continuing to do that. But those who do not have Christ, or who are straddling, trying to straddle the fence, find that they have to make a stand. And in that stand, they either accept Jesus as their personal Lord and put him first in all things. You see, God has been merciful to us, not only as individuals, but as a community, as a church. And he has told us we have a place we can assemble and uplift one another. And this is good that we can do this. But he also gives us that warning that do not think this will get you into heaven if you do not have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You must have him in your heart and in your life. You must have him first. And he tells us that as you look up and see these signs coming upon the earth, you will know that our redemption draws near. He says, I'm coming as a thief in the night. And when I come, everybody will see it and everybody will know it. I will draw my own out before that. And as I draw my own out, they will be with me forever. And when God calls us out of this world, he says, your bodies will be changed and you'll be immortal. Your spirit and your body will join together at the first resurrection. And in that resurrection, we will never die because Christ will be our Lord and our Savior. And he says, those that have part in the first resurrection, the second resurrection will have no power on them. We look and we realize that Jesus came into Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus gladly and joyfully accepted him as the Son of God. And accepting him as the Son of God, it tells each one of us that we too must have Jesus in our life, and we have to realize he is not only the Son of God, he came in love. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. You see, by the law, we would have to, if we were to keep the law, we would not only keep the Ten Commandments. God says, when I judge, I will even judge the thoughts and the intents of the thought. And this will be part of the judgment. And we find that no one has ever kept it. Our righteousness, as it tells us in Isaiah, is as filthy rags because our righteousness is man-made. We find the righteousness of God is holy, it's righteous, and it's just. We find, too, that God says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in that rest, you will have peace, even though the world is troubled all around you. And as the world is troubled all around you, you can go and walk in peace. We can find that when Satan wants to take over and tries to take over and he wants to be equal to God, he will never succeed. But when the Spirit of God is drawn out of the world, Satan himself will demand that all the people take a mark in their right hand or in their forehead in order to buy or sell. And if they don't take that mark, they're marked for death. We find those that take the mark consigns themselves into Satan's territory, and Satan would be their God. They would be punished forever and ever in the fires of hell because they took the mark of the beast. We find then that the law convicts us of sin. And because we're convicted of sin, we have to turn to Christ, as Zacchaeus did, and call upon him and ask him not only to be our Lord and our Savior, but to forgive us of our sin and help us to be righteous and holy as he is righteous and holy, that people would see us, see him in us, and glorify him, that we are not only the light of the world, but that we too would be the salt of the world, and people would come to him because of the way we live, the way we assemble together, the way we uplift one another, and that we look out for one another, that we give willingly to those who are in destitute, those that are we're willing to do what we have to in the love of God, and especially to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, that as we give to them, that they can go forward praising God in all things. We are told that to give to the poor, but and Paul tells us, he says, especially those of the household of faith. We give to them because they are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and therefore we want to help them. If we have other means to help those that aren't walking with the Lord, prayerfully and we would help them, but we would also pray that they would give their heart and life to Christ also, in that Christ could be their Lord and Savior and forgiving them of their sin. And they would hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," when they stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Help us then to not only serve Christ, but that we can do as Zacchaeus and joyfully put him first in our lives. That we can do as Zacchaeus and we will say, "Lord, you are the one that has given to me. Help me to give to those around me in need." That as we do this, God will not only bless us and bless us individually or as a congregation, but he would bless us day by day and keep us in perfect peace with him. And we can pray not only for our health that we have, but we pray that God will watch over us and keep us day by day. Our prayer is that we have Jesus first because God sent him into the world. And as God sent him into the world, we will accept him then as our personal Lord and Savior. That doing this, we ask him to lead us and to guide us, keeping the Holy Spirit in us because we are the temple of God. And because we are the temple of God, we want to keep it perfect and in holiness to him. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over us and keep us. Help us, O God, to do your will. Help us, O Lord, to live for you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.